Amen and amen. You know, it's fitting that we look, Psalm 55, verse 22, look there and we'll kind of pull that apart. The scripture admonishes us to cast our burdens on the Lord. And he said his promises that he'd sustain us in those things. And so if you'll find that place, stand, we'll read God's just this one verse of scripture tonight. Psalm 55, verse 22. You know, the word in the passage there, the word burden suggests or it implies someone's circumstances, things that go on in life. You know, sometimes they're self-inflicted, and then sometimes they just happen, you know, such is life. It happens sometimes. But it implies circumstances again, whether it's self-inflicted or if it's something that just kind of happens in the... The psalmist promises that the Lord will uphold the believer in all of the struggles of life. And often find myself there and I go, Lord, your promise is, and I'm claiming that and I'm believing that. And so for Aiden, we cast our, you know, those burdens on the Lord tonight for Aiden and for Dixie and for all of us. We all have circumstances. Miss DJ's been just, her health has been up and down, and we cast those things. You know, we all could list something like that, right? Or we know someone, we got a friend or a family member or somebody, a coworker, a cousin, somebody, Doug tonight, that's, it's not bad enough that he's battling cancer, but then trying to finish his house, he's hurt himself, and now this hurts turned into something that's, it can be life-threatening if we can't get this under control. And not to say that the cancer alone is not life-threatening, but staph infection and on and on and on. And so we pray that God would sustain them and meet their needs. And so I'm thankful for the promise. Notice what he says. The psalmist says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you, and he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Father, thank you so much again for the day and the blessings of the day, and Lord, even the rest of the day. And I pray, Father, tonight that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, the circumstances of life, sometimes I've caused my own, and then sometimes they just happen. But the promise is that you would sustain me and us and never suffer the righteous to be moved, that you would lift our burdens as your children today, and we thank you for that. Meet these needs that have been praying for tonight, and Father, get the glory and all of that, and we'll be careful to give you praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You know, there's just a few things I want to say about the scripture. It's really kind of, I think one of the best interpreters of scripture is scripture, and so sometimes it doesn't need me to try to make it say something that it doesn't. We should never make it say something that it doesn't. But even in our attempts to exegete the passage, sometimes we spend a whole lot of time trying to alliterate something so people can understand, or we hope to be able to teach that in an understandable way. But this is a verse that really outlines itself for us. It talks about, it's kind of in three little parts, and it's very simple to understand. And maybe you want to write down, there's just some simple words that I write in my Bible. I don't know if you write in your Bible, but I write in my Bible. And I write simple little things. And you can always come back to Psalm 55, verse 22 again, because if you live 100 more years or 10 more years or 5 more years, you're going to have circumstances of life that you're going to need to cast on the Lord. Just because this one thing's over don't mean there won't be anything else. There's no promise of that. I know there's different denominations that try to teach you that if you live right and have enough faith that you won't ever have any struggles. And the problem with that is it's really bad theology. Because, matter of fact, the scripture even admonishes us that one, it's appointed us to suffer. We don't like that. We don't like to have to go through trials of this life and trials, testing, and troubles. But it's part of it. It's about shaping us and making us into the people that he wants us to be. But along the way, he says we got a place, an advocate that we could come and cast our cares and our burdens upon, and that he promised that he would sustain us and that he would never allow the righteous to be moved. And so the first word is the surrendering. If you want to write surrendering, and maybe it'll remind you of something next time you go back to that. Cast surrendering. your burden on the Lord. Psalm 55, verse 2. Again, it's kind of broken down for us in three little sections in this scripture here. And the surrendering. I think sometimes as Christians, we fail, or we fail to cast our burdens on the Lord until it gets really bad. You know what I mean? And then we're crying out in the darkness in the suffering of our time. And we're supposed to cast our cares and our burdens. That word care is a burden. And cast our cares upon the Lord. And I think sometimes we fail to cast those things on those because we think somehow or another, I'm big enough, I can handle it, nobody else needs to know about it, it's a little embarrassing, or it's a little, you know, I don't want anybody else to know that I'm going through this sickness or this illness or these things. And I've told people a thousand times before, Kelly knows this, that I say, listen, I promise I got something going on, everybody's going to know, because I want as many that will pray to pray for me. Amen? And I don't, again, cast your cares, cast your burdens upon the Lord. And I think I'm, you know, and we're all guilty. We don't always do that enough. You know, we don't always do that enough. And casting our care or our burden upon the Lord is simply to position ourselves to stay in or to stay trusting those promises and relying on the providence of God in that. Casting our care, understanding that God said, listen, I'm bigger than all of this. There's nothing too big for me. There's nothing impossible for me. If he can raise Lazarus, you know, when he got to Martha and Mary and they said, oh, Lord, if you'd have just been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And don't you remember reading the story that Jesus tarried on purpose, didn't he? He says he was intentional in not coming. And then he got there and he said, roll the stone away. And I revert back to my King James because sometimes it just sounds better than the King James. They said, oh, Lord, surely he stinketh by now. Right? Stinketh. In other words, he stinks. He's dead. He's 3.5 days dead. He's decaying. Jesus said, roll the stone away. Loose him. And he comes hopping out. He calls to him and he comes hopping out bound in those grave clothes, right? He says, loose him and let him go. And the story goes on to say that Mary takes a certain amount of oil, of perfume, about a pound of that, anoints Jesus' feet. Who's leaning back, lounging with Jesus in that scene? Lazarus. Not many hours ago, he was doorknob dead. Now he's lounging and eating and worshiping at the master's table. So if Jesus can do that, there's nothing impossible for him. Amen? Cast our cares upon him because he promised to sustain us. Didn't say every time he would answer yes. It doesn't say that every time he would take away the cancer. Doesn't say every time that he would, you know, even heal Doug or even cause, you know. But the promise is, Doug's got saved, by the way, so his healing is sure. Because even if cancer comes and takes his physical body, he's going to live forever in the presence of God, right? And we're praying for healing, praying and believing for healing, but God doesn't always answer us like that. And those are the hardest times. But cast your burdens upon the Lord. And then some of us do this. We bring those things, but then we pick them right back up, don't we? And we worry about them. Remember what I said about the rocky horse of worry? Where does that get you? Nowhere. Nowhere. The enemy wants us to crawl on that rocky horse of worry, and it gets us nowhere. It just gets us wrencles. I got one right there. I'm trying to determine if I had a scar. I say to my kids on my bus, they'll say, Mr. Chuck, what happened? I said, oh, but you should have seen it. It was ugly, and I got this big. I really think that's just a wrinkle. You see it, don't you, right there? But I make that out to be something awful, you know. Had 47 stitches right there, and it was an awful. You should have seen the blood. I think it's just a wrinkle, to be honest. But it sounds better when I get to say I had the big scar. Had to wear a patch because it was got in my eye. But sometimes I cast those things on the Lord and I don't leave them with him. And I continue to, and I promise you this too, the enemy's so slick. When I pick them up, it seems to be 10 times worse than it ever was. And then I'm crushed under the weight of that thing. more than ever before, because I pick it back up and I think, okay, I've got this figured out. I've got you figured out, God. So I've got this thing taken care of now, and I can bear this now on my own. And we tend to do that sometimes as human beings. But total surrender is needed. Surrendering, that's that word there, is needed. And our burdens must be left with Him. Because in our ability as human beings, we have what we call finite strength, right? It has a limitation. There's a limitation to our strength. It wears out. I don't care how strong, the strongest of the strong, they have a limitation to their strength. That person that can bear those burdens, and, you know, there is a limitation to that as well. But aren't you glad that when our strength fails, God's infinite power is all sufficient? He said, I can sustain you in this time if you'll just cast those cares on me. God never intended for you and I to be a pack mule, you know, to tote around those burdens. He says, bring those things and cast them on me. And He'd bear those burdens, and He'd bear those struggles, and He'd take those testing trials and troubles, and He would make a way of escape for you and I. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? And we got people, we got friends that are crushed under the weight of some of the circumstances of life, and they just need to hear a good word, an encouraging word. So Peter admonishes us in 1 Peter 5:7 to cast all your care upon Him, because He cares for us. That's good news. I'm glad that it is a two-way street. He says, just bring those things, and it's because I care about you. I love you, and I want to bear these burdens. And you know those people in your life that you can talk to, and they're good listeners, and then you know those people that sometimes that you can't talk to because they're not good listeners. I promise a good listener will listen and listen and listen and not say to you, if they ever say to you, if I was you, this is what I do, you need to find someone else to talk to. Okay? Because that's not good counsel. If I was you, this is what I do. I don't want to know if you were me, what you would do. I want to just tell you what's going on, and I want you to be sympathetic toward that, and I want you to bear those burdens with me. That's a good listener. But sometimes, you know, people, they have all the answers, right? Well, if I was you, I promise that never works out for you. Don't take that advice and run with it, because most of the time it gets you in trouble because you're not them, okay? And so it's not a good word. It's not a good word. And then he says this. He says, there is a surrendering, and then he says, there is a sustaining. Again, the verse really, again, is outlining itself. So if you just want to write these three little words right there in your Bible, and it says, and He shall cast your burden on the Lord, comma, and He will sustain you. It outlines itself. He will sustain you. And there is a sustaining. And that word sustain means to keep in existence, to keep up, to carry the weight or burden up, to strengthen the spirits, to comfort, to encourage, to sustain. That's according to Webster. But I think that's a good word, that what God does in our life. He bears that burden. He keeps us up. He upholds us with His mighty hand, the scripture says. He bears our burden. He strengthens us in our spirit. He carries the weight or the burden of that. He comforts us in those times of testing, trial, and troubles. And He encourages us. Now, it's a good ministry to be an encourager, you know, to encourage somebody. Again, be careful of if I was you, this is what I'd do. And be careful of those people that are just raining on your parade all the time. Again, run from that counsel. Amen? We're looking for some encouragers. Somebody that'll speak a good word. I mean, even if it's a tough word, speak a good word about, hey, I need this. I need to be encouraged today that God's in control. And don't allow the enemy to destroy us like that. And sometimes Christians I don't think we necessarily appropriate God's sustaining grace. Again, because we fail to trust Him sufficiently in all those things. We think, surely He's too busy for my burdens or for my... And I promise you again, whatever the burden is, we bring that to the Lord. And He said He'd sustain us through that. And trust His sustaining grace. Again, it's a good word to come back to and say, Lord, here's what I need. The scripture says, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them because they trust in Him. So if the promise is that God would deliver us and help us. It's conditional when it says, when we trust in him. If we don't trust in him and we don't utilize that sustaining grace in our life, then he doesn't have any means of helping us and sustaining us, right? Because we're bearing that burden on our own. Well, somehow or another, I can take care of this. I can handle this. I'm a strong person. I'm a stubborn individual. I'm a strong-willed individual. I can handle this. And that may be so, but again, there's a limitation in your and my strength, right? There's a limitation to that, and there's not a limitation to God's infinite power. God sustains his trusting children. I think that's pretty interesting. I mean, it's pretty sure what we just said. He says, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them because they trust in him. In Psalm 37:40, God sustains his trusting children. That's a good definition of who we should be, trusting children. Then the psalmist wrote, I laid me down and slept, and I awakened, for the Lord sustained me, in Psalm 3 and verse number 5. That in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your trials, if David can write about being able to lay down and sleep and be awakened and understand that God was sustaining him through all of that, what a great example for David to write for us. How many of you lost sleep over a burden that you've bared on your own? Come on. Yeah, we all do. We all do. Something that's going on in our life, something that's going on in our family, something that's going on somehow or another, something about our finances, our health, our whatever it might be, and we've lost sleep over those things. And the psalmist David ran for his life from Saul, and yet he'd lay down and sleep like a baby because he knew that God was sustaining him and that was protecting him. It's a good example for you and I, but sometimes, again, We'll gather it up and put it on our back like a backpack, and we'll tote that thing around. And then we lose sleep over that. And that's probably where this wrinkle came from. Maybe. You think? I've told you, my last church, when we were in Gadsden, we were there 4 years, and we knew when we went, we knew the church, and we knew everything about, well, we didn't know everything, because no pastor knows everything going in. Somehow or another, there's things that just don't always get told. But when you go in and you know from day one that there's $6.5 million worth of debt, and the mortgage payment's $68,000 a month, and the utilities are $10,000, and it has nothing to do with paying all your staff, and you have a Christian school that runs about 250 students, and we're trying to pay those teachers and everybody else too. I did my dead level best there. My wife will attest to that. But I didn't sleep much in 4 years. And that's tough. That's tough. Maybe I didn't heed my own teaching well enough. I thought I did. But brother, that's a lot. That's a lot. A lot, a lot. My wife said, you know, she was worried about me. But anyway, you know, God has not, just because we immediately, we bring that thing and leave it with him, God's not promised to free us immediately from that trouble or trial or testing. But he has promised that over a period of time that he would sustain us and encourage us and comfort us and give us the things that we need. So there's a surrendering, and there's a sustaining that goes with that. And then there's the last part of this scripture. And it's to me, I think it's probably the most important there. And he says, and there's another comma, or actually there's a semicolon, and it says, a colon. He says, and he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And there's a stabilizing. There's a surrendering that takes place. Cast your cares, cast your burdens on the Lord. There is that sustaining. And God promised that he would sustain us through all those troubles and trials and testing of life. All those circumstances of life. We don't understand why things happen the way they do sometimes. We don't understand why a 9-year-old has neuroblastoma. That's tough. We don't understand why things are the way they are. We don't understand every time we hear someone's got cancer or some disease, some affliction, some struggle, trial, or something. We don't understand all those things. But God's promised peace that passes understanding. But in this, there's a stabilizing. He shall never, never permit, or the King James reads like suffer. Never suffer the righteous to be moved. And in the New King James, it says never permit the righteous to be moved. And I think too often as Christians, we lack that stability. You know, we lack that stability. We're wishy-washy, up and down one day. How long are we becoming, straddle two different opinions or straddle the fence? Or, you know, one day we're trusting God, the next day we can't function because we're so down and discouraged and depressed from all of the things that are going on in our life. We don't know how to make it. And God says, listen, if you bring that thing to me and allow me to take it and have it and do with it as I please, that he would sustain us and that he would bring some stability in our life. He would make sure that things that we've asked him to do, that he would do, and that he's able to do that. And I'm thankful for that, right? And we just don't learn enough. You know, we every once in a while we get it right, and then before you know it, we go right back to the same old thing. Well, I can do this on my own. If we please God, we must be, if we're going to please God and we're going to trust him in that, we got to be steadfast. Keep in the faith in the midst of all those trouble, trials, and testing. I say that because in this life, you're going to have troubles, trials, and testing. You're going to have troubles, trials, and testing. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. You can overcome the world because Jesus has, right? But in this life, you're going to have circumstances that are going to look like troubles, trials, and testing. You're going to have some tribulation. You got a friend that says to you, how's the world treating you? Well, when you're honest, you say, well, in this world, I've got my own tribulation that I'm dealing with, right? I got my own troubles, trials, and testing. But I'm trusting that God's in control of that. I've cast those things on the Lord. He's promised to sustain me. He's promised to keep me. He's promised to stabilize me. He's promised to do all those things in my life if I'd surrender that to him. Amen? That's right. That's a good word. And he says, so God sometimes allows those burdens. And I want to speak to that too, because I don't believe that we have a God that sits in heaven and afflicts his people with cancer or afflicts children with cancer or anything like that. He's not some mean, malicious guy. But I want to say this, that there's another side of God we call the permissive will of God. There's certain things that are allowed, and then there are certain things that sometimes that God is nowhere near, that he gets the blame for a lot of those things. But there is a permissive will of God in my life. Sometimes he allows things to happen in my life for that testing and molding and shaping that he's trying to accomplish in my life. Sometimes that's harder than it needs to be, because if had I learned early on, I wouldn't be, I wouldn't be here necessarily, at the place I am today, so to speak, if we go through those testing and trials. Sometimes they magnify before they get better, because I just hadn't learned well enough and early enough along that if I just leave this with God, he said he'd take care of this. And I still want to figure it out for myself. And so sometimes God allows those burdens to come to strengthen our faith. And he lifts us up as we trust and obey, that old song says. And it's just about growth. It's about us growing in the grace and the grace of our God. God's word promises that the God of all grace, after that you've suffered a while. That's one of those verses probably we skip over. He says, but the God of all grace, after you have suffered a while, makes you perfect, establishes you, strengthens you, and is able to settle you in 1 Peter 5:10. And so, not to be shaken by the troubles and the trials, or not to quit either, is our responsibility. Our responsibility to God as our duty, and our responsibility to trust in the comfort that he provides when we cast all of our cares upon the Lord. Because he's able to do those things. And like I say, the verse outlines itself. It says again, cast your care on the Lord. There's this surrendering. Bring those things to God. Leave them with him. And he said, that he's able to sustain you. There's a sustaining that comes when you and I are able to surrender those things to God. And then, like I say, to me, the most important part of that is there's this stabilization that comes. I don't have to be up and down, in and out. You know, granted, human nature is that you're going to be concerned about something that's going on in your life, your family's life, or you're going to be praying, but it doesn't have to devastate us at that point. We're just trusting that God's in control, that no matter what, that as long as we're prepared for eternity. Again, there's worse things in life of a believer than death, but the most important thing is to be prepared for that. My daughter works in a critical care unit at Children's Hospital, and she comes home, and she'll sometimes she just needs to tell us about, you know, things that she has to deal with from time to time. And I want to tell you this. There's circumstances that, you know, some of these children that come in the hospital with that do not have an accident, and you know, and basically their injury is from somebody taking a 1-year-old or a 2-year-old by the legs and slamming them on a table like that, and now the child is devastated, physically devastated. I don't understand the evil of this world. I don't understand the evil of mankind. I know that they have a conscience seared with a hot iron, but I also know that God is the equalizer in all that. Amen? And I'm telling you that sometimes I have to leave the room sometimes. I'm going to get emotional when she talks about some of the, you know, just the needs of some of, you know, and she just needs to vent a little bit. And, but oh my goodness gracious, if you're not a believer and you can't cast those burdens upon the Lord, and, you know, and my kid is absolutely made for that. I could not do that. I could not. I would be in trouble. I would be in jail because I would not be so kind. But my kid is designed for that, to take care. But she has to cast those burdens on the Lord as well. Amen. So you and I, we have to learn how, again, surrendering, cast these things on the Lord, sustaining that He's in control, even in the darkest hours. And then that stabilization, that stabilizing, that God said, I'll bring some peace in your life. I'll bring some peace in a 9-year-old's life or in that family's life that is dealing with a child of 9, or even Dixie's situation and y'all anticipating surgery and not knowing what's going to happen next, and Doug's situation and think he's got a little redheaded little boy that he wants to, you know, see grow up and those kind of things. But, you know, sometimes life and the circumstances of life don't always seem fair, but God's the equalizer in all of that. And God is able to do abundantly above everything we ask or think. Amen? And as long as we trust Him like that, He said that He'd do that in our life. Let's pray together tonight. It's good to see you. Good to worship with you tonight. And good to be able to share God's word with you for a minute. Is there anything else before we pray? Anything else? Somebody, maybe something that's come to you now since we've prayed. We're going to pray again. And you just want to mention somebody or a situation or something that maybe you too want to cast on the Lord tonight. Cast that care upon the Lord and ask God's care, God's provision in your life. Anything at all? Anybody? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for the promise of the Word of God here is that when we surrender those things that worry us, those things that trouble us, those things that try us, those things that even test us, you say that when we surrender those things and we leave them with you, that you would sustain us, that you would see us through all of those things, you would see us through all of those hard times, you would see us through all of those burdens and cares. And Lord, where there was instability and where there was this back and forth of worry, and even sometimes not dealing with it brings depression and all of those things. And Lord, even the enemy's crafty. He uses individuals to try to keep us down, and they try to hold us hostage by holding things over our head because they know that it brings us a worrisome spirit. Lord, you say, when we cast those things upon you, Lord, there is a sustaining, and then there is a stabilization that comes. You promise that you never permit the righteous to be moved. And Father, we're thankful for that. Thank you for the promise of the Word of God. Thank you for the, Lord, if anything tonight, Lord, help us to understand that our strength is finite and it has a limitation. But your infinite strength and power knows no bounds, no limitations, and is able to do abundantly above everything we ask or think or even imagine in our heart. And so, Father, help us to be these people, to learn to trust you like this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.